You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Green Left Weekly Radio.
There's one newspaper that is independent of powerful capitalist interests, and that is Green Left Weekly.
It's the people's voice, committed to human and civil rights, ecological sustainability, democracy and equality. It presents ideas that the mainstream media won't.
Green Left is a leading source of local, national and international news with analysis, discussion and debate to strengthen the anti-capitalist movement.
It helps expose the lies of the capitalist press and puts the voices of the marginalised and the oppressed at the centre of fighting for a better world and helps us understand the political developments unfolding around us.
Good morning, everyone. 3CR and Green Left recognise that this show is being broadcasted on the Wurundjeri land of the Kulin Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. This land was taken by force through colonial violence and displacement and attempted genocide of the First People. The struggle for First Nations sovereignty is deeply connected with the struggles against racism, imperialism, and capitalism. And as socialists, we pledge to actively fight for decolonization, and we stand with First Nations peoples for justice, sovereignty, and land rights. Welcome to Green Left Radio. We're coming live to you from the 3CR studios. Green Left is an eco-socialist independent media project committed to democracy, equality, social justice, and environmental sustainability. And as part of that media project, we run this current affairs program on 3CR, often covering the struggles of workers' rights, First Nations justice, climate action, anti-racism, and international solidarity. We believe ordinary people can change society through collective action, and we amplify the voices of the oppressed and those building movements for change. It's Friday, 10th of July, and your co-hosts are myself, Chloe, and Zane. Good morning, Zane.
Top of the morning to you.
And we've got a really packed show for you this morning. We have an interview with Steel City Sue, who is an activist and musician from Mullumbimba, Newcastle, who is involved with the climate action group Rising Tide. We've got Bakhela Panagaris. She's an organiser, artist, activist and Socialist Alliance member, and she's going to be speaking to us from Ghana, or Adelaide, about imperialism, AUKUS and the upcoming ALP conference in Adelaide and why groups in South Australia are organising against the ALP and their conference. Then we've got the activist calendar. But first, some news and analysis.
Yes, and I thought I'd just do a bit of an update, as I sometimes do, around CFMEU stuff. I'm a rank and file CFMEU member and part of Defend the Unions, Defend the CFMEU. And Defend the Unions, Defend the CFMEU put out a statement a couple of days back. It's titled, The Real Plan for the CFMEU, What You're Not Being Told. In February this year, former Administrator Mark Irving gave a report to Parliament about his success in restructuring the CFMEU and turning it into a tamecat union. He reminded the Parliament how it was important to begin with sacking the whole senior leadership of our union on August 23, 2024. Then in the months that followed, 90% of our industrial law coordinators and 50% or over 50% of organisers in Victoria were forced to leave. Yet Irving says in his report that this was not a mass cleanout. Meanwhile, we now pay unelected people with no construction industry experience, like Matt McGowan and Emma Kingdon, to run the union in Victoria and nationally because they're loyal to ACTU ALP principles. Why did this happen? Supposedly, we were corrupt and worked with blackies, as allegedly proven by the media, journalist Nick McKenzie, and now the very much discredited silk Jeffrey Watson. But now Irving says we're actually under administration because we were not lawful. We broke industrial laws 1,163 times, laws that Sally McManus, head of the ACTU, herself said bad laws should be broken. That's what made us crims. Not the bosses that kill people, do dodgy deals or pay off crooks, but the union that stands up for its members. So here's the real plan for the CFMEU. We are to become a cooperative and collaborative union that does not use confrontation or conflict to get its way. Perhaps this means we'll be able to ask nicely and the boss will fix all safety issues and pay us our wages and entitlements because we're a model ALP-run union. Meanwhile, we will work with the coppers, the regulators and other unions in a nice way because they always take our needs into consideration and can be trusted. Even if the AWU says that in reality all civil workers belong to them, we will accept this because it's okay that some workers have rubbish conditions, pay and no organisers. But hey, that would be the law and we're now a lawful union. Irving also implied that it's okay to change our union rules without consulting us, maybe sell off our wellness centre, change our name or perhaps lose our RDOs, monthly members and shop stewards meetings, and make us do whatever ACTU and ALP want us to do. Finally, Irving noted that we're a rich union. At least we're good at something, as he'd have to be happy with his huge salary being paid out of members' money. But they're still going to try and have a few former leaders jailed just to remind us all to shut up and toe the line. Why? Because our culture was too militant and we wouldn't do what we were told. We didn't play nicely in a cutthroat industry, but we saved members' lives and we won good pay and conditions by sticking together and fighting for our rights. So yeah, that's a statement from the other day that gives a bit of a assessment of the state of play and where things are at. And yeah, throughout this administration of the CFMEU, we've seen the conflation of breaches of entry permit rules and industrial militancy with alleged criminality. And that's just kind of continued from day one right through. And yeah, there's this sort of notion that, oh, the CFMEU breaks the rules. Well, yeah, it breaks the rules because the union prioritises the life of members over ticking a box on a piece of paper, and that's how it should be. So yeah, bit of an update there. There was also another motion at the last CFMEU branch meeting, and it reads as follows. This branch meeting of the CFMEU VicTAS Construction General Division calls upon all unionists to think about how a future One Nation-led government might use the union-busting administration laws currently being used against the CFMEU to attack your union. Our union is currently controlled by overpaid, incompetent, unelected, unaccountable ACTU hacks. The administrators won't answer basic and reasonable questions from members about how they're using our money and what they're doing to our union. If a future One Nation-led government uses the administration law to attack your union, it could be members of right-wing think tanks, retired anti-union politicians, red union quacks, or even neo-Nazis installed to take over your union. Now is the time for unionists to pressure the Albanese government to repeal these anti-union laws. Don't wait for a future right-wing government to take over and silence your union before speaking out. So, yeah, just a bit of a warning there, I guess, because it's bad enough the way that the CFMEU is being run under the dictatorial admin rules at the moment. But the problem is that's now a battle-tested template that future governments can use to smash any union or any group of unions that they want to. And there's no requirement that there has to be a well-founded, you know, fear of corruption or criminality or something before you put a union into admin. There was a brief trial by media before the CFMEU was put into admin, and the same thing could be done to any other union. A future far-right government could just say, oh, you know, the teachers' union are disloyal and they're undermining society by going on strike, or there's left-wing bias in the school system and it's the teachers that are doing it. They could make up any bullshit excuse as a pretense to put a union under admin.
Or any organisation for that matter.
And then once they're in, they can install whoever they want to run the show. So, yeah, it's very dangerous, and I think one of the core reasons the CFMEU was put under admin was it was drifting out of the control of the established factional system in the ALP and the ACTU, and they basically drafted up union-busting legislation to solve that political issue within the ALP, and it's like using a sledgehammer to crack a walnut, and they've opened the door to really serious attacks on the union movement in the future by using that method to try and resolve an internal political disagreement or dispute within the ALP and the union movement.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. I'd encourage listeners to visit the Defend the CFMEU Is it called Defend the CFMEU, Defend the Unions?
Either way, Defend the Unions, Defend CFMEU.
Yep, that's a campaign that started in response to the attacks on the CFMEU. And it's really good that the VicTas branch passed that motion, because I think that was in response to the Queensland LNP government cancelling BPIC, attacking RDOs and safety and trying to ban the CFMEU from government jobs, and the risk that the admin laws could be used by future far-right federal government to smash the entire union movement. And it's good that they've spoken out against One Nation. So yeah, thanks for bringing us that news. Before we head to our interview, we'll just quickly give listeners a debrief on a rally yesterday, anti-Modi rally. So it was a protest against the visit of Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi to NAR Melbourne. And it was organised by a range of Indian groups, including Alliance Against Islamophobia. We did speak to one of the organisers last week on the show about this. They're a grassroots organisation dedicated to combating anti-Muslim hate. The protest yesterday, I was there and we spoke out against Modi's hatred, bigotry and persecution, including anti-Muslim hate, caste oppression, attacks on Adivasi and tribal rights, suppression of dissent, attacks on civil society, press freedom and democratic institutions, and human rights violations in Kashmir and Manipur and lots of other regions. I did see thousands of Modi supporters show up to cheer on and welcome Modi at the Marvel Stadium. While we were on the outside of Marvel Stadium with placards and megaphones opposing Modi's visit, there were also Nazis that turned up. Not many, but a few turned up also opposing Modi, but from a very extremist, racist and anti-ALP perspective. And there were mounted police everywhere. I saw people and their children waving RSS flags. And one of the organisers of the anti-Modi rally, Imam Wasim Razvi, chair of the Alliance Against Islamophobia, spoke out about Narendra Modi himself, reminding people that he comes from fascist ideology and he is a member of the RSS, which draws its inspiration from the Nazis. And that is really the backbone and ideology of the ruling party in India, the BJP, which Modi is a leader of. And that is why we oppose him. Modi is responsible for mass murders, rapes. He was even banned from entering the USA for nearly a decade. He's welcome now, but he was banned for a while. Yeah, I think that's probably all we have time for, because we need to jump into our first interview. So please stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick break. Don't go anywhere.
3CR, always bringing you the latest union news.
They're coming after us at the moment. They want to get rid of penalty rates, the big push from businesses. They want to get rid of all the things that you and I have fought for.
So there's tens of thousands of jobs gone, contracted out to sham contracting arrangements.
On 8.55 a.m. and on the web, 3cr.org.au.
You know, there's people, like you said, have been on casual for 7 years. Well, it's supposed to be casual employment. People want full-time jobs. They don't want to be sitting there casual, not knowing they're going to get any days, any leave or whatsoever. Especially, you look at all the casuals in our industry at the moment, they're sitting home. You know, people want full-time employment and they should be entitled to full-time employment.
And look at all the people who were used and abused as casuals in the aged care sector, and all the problems that are facing people now and all the deaths that are following.
In the meatworks, a lot of that's casuals, labour hire, you know, you've got blokes travelling around, you know. We want full-time positions and, you know, and people want it. We want to be full-time employed. You want to have your Christmas holidays. You want to have time with your family. But when you're a casual, you get none of that.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio 855 AM on digital and online. 3CR Radical Radio.
Alrighty, welcome back. You are listening to Green Left Radio here on 3CR, 8.55 AM, digital and online, and on the phone this morning, currently in Sydney, I believe, but hailing from Mullumbimba, Newcastle, we've got Steel City Sue. Welcome, Sue.
Thank Zane. Good morning.
Top of the morning to you. And so you're going on tour and you're heading down this way eventually. Can you tell us a bit about who'll be joining you on stage? What is the vibe like at your gigs? What is your sound? Give us a bit of a...
It's a multi-question. What was the first part of it?
Well, actually, what were you doing last night? Did you kick off your...
Palomino. It's Palomino Lounge in Enmore. It's a Nashville-style bar on Enmore Road, Enmore, Newtown.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, lovely. It was really lovely. It was a whole lot of Newcastle people came out for that, Newcastle diaspora and others. I call it tour in inverted commas, at the Royal Exchange in Newcastle, did a sort of a video of the songs and kind of going to start putting that out a bit. And then we had Southern Sydney Folk Club, was really gorgeous listening crowd. And then the Troubadour Central Coast was really mad. It was like people were mobbing us at the end. It was great. Really connecting with the songs. That was the main thing. It was like even the heaviest song, which is about PFAS contamination. I play fun stuff, but there's also, you know, there's some content in there, and people really were glad to be hearing someone telling local stories, particularly that current PFAS story from Williamtown, RAF-based. So that was particularly good to be connecting with people about real stories. But yes, we had Palomino Lounge last night. It was really, really fun. And then I'm sort of calling it the national launch in Canberra, Miss Alternative, on Saturday. I'm going to play with local musician Jack Bradley. She's coming out all solo, so she's going to come with us to Braidwood Folk Club as well on Sunday. But yeah, when we get down to your way, we've got a couple out Geelong way, Medusa Bar on Thursday the 16th, with Sarah Carroll. She's a ballerine legend. And Shannon Bourne, who's just the most fantastic guitar player. So that's a double gig with those guys at Medusa Bar Geelong. And then Friday the 17th, we're at The Door, which is not too far from there, but I think it's a sort of a completely different vibe. It's in Fiennes, and that's also with Sarah Carroll, Shannon Bourne, and Creature Jones is joining that one. I haven't heard her music too much, but I love the name, Creature Jones. It's clear. And then so we've got a double Saturday the 18th. We've got two dates in Melbourne. We're doing a sort of a one-day tour of Melbourne itself. That's at the Bendigo Hotel Collingwood with Raucus, who of Fuck AI fame, and Emmy Ryan, who's based in Melbourne, folk Americana style musician. But that one is like everyone's got a bit to say. Everyone's got songs that have got a fair bit of commentary, and women, it's sort of very women's based, rah. So I'm really looking, and it's in the afternoon.
Women based, rah. Like that.
It's a new genre. It's new. You can be home in time for tea, though. It can be for the older people who don't want to be out at night. So that one's an afternoon. I think it's about 2:30. And then on the same night, for the people that do like being late, I'm kind of just having an old time, because apart from singing political-ish sort of songs and content, I also play a whole stack of Appalachian old time. And so we're going to have an old time party at the Lomans that night with Wobbly Boots, old time string band, a bunch of old mates. And we'll probably all pile in together and play some tunes at the end. And then finishing it off up at the Northern, at Castlemaine, at the Northern Arts Hotel with Dan Newsall.
Hey.
Yeah, do you know Dan?
Yeah, Ken Ice. He's Earthworker stalwart, and he's put in the hard yards getting the hot water tank factory going out in Morwell over many years.
Oh, really? I've been talking to him about that. Oh, I'm even doubly glad that we're doing a double bill with him. Mm-hmm. He's a beautiful guy, and he's got some great songs to us. Same in Newcastle a few weeks ago. And actually, we've also got an extra one that's added. We're going to hang around in Melbourne because I need a holiday. And we're playing for the MUA, actually. They've got a campaign which is Clean Up the Straight. Mm-hmm. Skyscraper Stan and the Commission Flat on that one. I think Stan's quite involved in organising it, actually, and it's to clean off the offshore facilities of gas in Bass Strait.
Yeah, right.
I think it's gas. The gas facilities in that, because they just sort of like,
well, we're done now.
See you later. It's your problem now, and, socialise the losses. So they're trying to make it actually a funded, fully funded, it's MUA and Victorian Trades Hall. Organising that with Friends of the Earth.
Mm.
3, and really looking forward to being on a bill with Skyscraper Stan, bit of a legend. So, but I've got a few ticketed shows to sort of move shift before that one. So let's just focus on the others. So it's a bit of a mission. Like, I haven't been. Yeah, this is the first trip to Victoria, really, with the Steel City Sewer Act. Really, only been getting my little wheels turning again since COVID. I'm not one of those people that was sort of doing live to airs and whatever. What do you call those internet parties? Those internet parties.
the young folk these days with their internet parties.
I couldn't get motivated with that, so I've finally got a new album, which I recorded with the same people I recorded with my first album. It was in America, but they moved to Wales, so I went to Wales.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now, I'm reminded of Duke Ellington's old band up in Newcastle called The Main Guy
the
and
main
other guy guys.
And the Other Guys.
So when people go to a Steel City Sue gig, it's not just you, is it?
Oh, no. It's me. It's actually, I'm reverting to my old band name. It's Steel City Sue and the Smokestack.
Hey.
They used that for the, for some reason, they dredged that up for the decommissioned gas gig. And I went, I think I might start running with that again. my Smokestack are King Americans, bass player, Newcastle Conservatorium sort of background. He was in my original act. Very first band version of Steel City Sue. Fantastic guy, really lovely. And Naomi Jones, who's a bit of a superstar on the folk scene right now, she's in pretty much the premier bluegrass act of Australia right now, is the High Street Drifters. They're based in Melbourne. She's not, but they are. She guests with them on fiddle regularly, and she's also got a band based in Newcastle called Midnight Chicken, who are also, taking off, and they've just come back from New Zealand. And
I'm sorry, did you say Midnight Chicken?
Midnight Chicken, yeah.
That is a cool band name.
Yeah, they're the coolest band. Like, they're really good. I'm just doing everything I can to keep her busy with the Steel City Sue shows and keep hold of her, because she's just she's amazing, fantastic fiddle player, but also she's multi-instrumentalist. She plays guitar and banjo, and I've even got her playing melodeon in in my little cutback scar tune in there.
Yeah, sick. Now, we'll get you to introduce the Red Zone in a moment, but just before we do, I just wanted to touch on, you're part of Rising Tide, which hosts the People's Blockade of the world's largest coal port in Mullumbimby, Newcastle, and you've made a pretty serious contribution to at least the last 3 blockades that I'm aware of, but probably a bunch of other...
I've always been on deck in some capacity, but the last 3, I've been stage manager of the main stage, which has gotten increasingly ambitious and amazing. Green Music Australia sort of partnered with Rising Tide for helping source art, and the acts have just been getting... we've had John Butler, Peter Garrett. This year we had Lime Cordial.
The Herd, Dobby.
Oh, The Herd, of course. Dobby. I mean, Garigula couldn't make the main stage this year, but Garigula is just my all-time... Act of the blue. I think we were sharing
how good
a
good his flows.
Garigula's mind blowing.
Mm.
Anyway, I have. That's where I could just see. I could see because I play music and I'm used to dealing with gear. I mean, not necessarily to that level. I have skilled up a bit while I've been doing it, but I could see some core activists of Rising Tide getting all tangled up in backline and just gear specs. And I'm like, okay, you give that to me and you can free up and, organise and get people on the water and do what you do best, and I'll just kind of nut out these stage schedules and liaise with all of the boring techie bit. And that was it's a solid role, and I'm really proud to be able to contribute in that way. The blockade is, it's probably the Rising Tide is, and that crew, the activist crew of Newcastle, is probably one of the reasons I've stayed, really. I just feel like we've got the world's largest coal exporting port, got a real purpose in life, and people are really really challenging that coal's always here and coal will always be here, and it's very staunch, the activist spirit of Newcastle. Right now, it probably always has been, but particularly now with coal and climate change activism, which is also encompassing. I mean, I'm really happy to see the local crew embracing anti-genocide action as well, because it is all part and parcel. Solidarity with Palestine.
Well, that's it. You can't normalise genocide on a warming planet. Yeah, no, it's been bloody good to see that sort of intersectional politics from Rising Tide really solidly supporting, Gaza solidarity.
Now, particular shout out to Zach Schofield, who actually went on the flotilla.
Mm.
Anyway, so you're going to say?
All right, we'll play Payroll a bit later on, which is looking at a bit of interesting thing that can happen in Nui, where coal workers interact with climate activists and
can you briefly comment
on that, like, because we talk about just transition, but I mean, you know, this is a bit more of the personal dimension, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not to say everyone has to get booted out of their jobs right now. I mean, but our movement does advocate for a just transition, not just like an into coal and everyone in it right now. They've got somewhere to land. In fact, I'd say that the climate movement advocates for their new jobs and welfare more than their own unions do. Anyway, you know, because they're just after the coal jobs that are existing now and acting as if it's all going to go on into perpetuity. We see the mines close all the time and they just get booted out. I suppose they're quite de-unionised as well, so they've got, you know, not too much to say for it at the end of it. But payroll is not, you've got to get off that payroll, it's more just like, righto, you can argue for a just transition, but it doesn't mean you have to, that doesn't mean you're going to have the hots for someone who's actually working in coal and working in expanding coal, you know, it's sort of a bit of a thrill killer. So,
if you want to be my lover, you got to stop digging coal.
Yeah, exactly.
It's an interesting dynamic because, I don't know, people outside of Nui don't really encounter that so much, I would say. It will play the title track off the new album, which is kind of this tour is launching. It's called The Red Zone. And can you just tell us a bit about what this song is about? And yeah.
Well, it's been in my head a long time, actually, this song. It's because the PFAS contamination of Williamtown is one of the first, well, it's become quite a lot of points of contamination across Australia.
And just for listeners, Williamtown is an Air Force base.
RAF Base, the Air Force Base north of Newcastle. Department of Defence managed that, or mismanaged that. And so for years and years and years, they were doing, I don't know if there was ever an active fire, but they were spraying this PFAS off. 3M company produces it. They still produce it. It's fire retardant. And, I mean, it's not just in the fire retardant sprays. It's also in Scotchgard, it's in Teflon, it's all through, well, you know, if you can put people, I never do it, but you can put popcorn in the in the microwave, and the bags themselves, they've got fire retardant in them, like PFAS. Fire retardant is nice. So anyway, they've contaminated the hell out of that land, and then all of the seepage just like drifting. I've got the forever poison seeps out of the base along the drains to Stockton Bridge. It all sort of seeps out towards Fullerton Cove and the Hunter River and across people's lands and home. And these people, they had a class action years ago and they all got, you know, 3/5 of stuff all. So they're pretty much just locked on their land, can't get out of there. As property prices increase everywhere else, there's no sort of equivalent. They can't sell it because no one wants to buy it. I don't know. You wonder, maybe the next thing might be the Department of Defence might buy them out to make, because that's all getting expanded. I feel like a new album coming on just on this stuff. That's all getting expanded for, you know, Lockheed Martin and all the lads are up there expanding this sort of special militarised precinct up there.
Oh, because Newcastle's going to have a just transition away from coal mining and into weapons manufacturing.
Nailed it. Yeah, that's exactly it. So that's the transition we've got to fight.
Over the contaminated soil and send the workers to work on PFAS contaminated land.
Or cap it under 2 metres of concrete, which is just lovely, like they have at the gasworks down at Hamilton. Have you seen the gasworks at Hamilton? The old gasworks? Anyway, it's really... It's become, when I was writing the song, I just thought, oh, God, I better hurry up and finish this song, because it's going to be one of those issues, like a historic issue sort of thing. But every time you turn around, there's another site that's contaminated with PFAS. Not least there's a site up in the Kimberley. At Catherine, there's a RAF base up there that's got the same issue, and also just a lot of unexplained illnesses. And the main thing, the point of this song is it's like, don't drink, like there was all these health warnings, don't drink the water and eat the eggs. But in the same breath, they're saying, oh, nothing to see here. It's all right, there's no evidence. And they keep on saying there's no evidence for the cluster of cancer and illness that's been happening up there. And so the federal government, just a few weeks ago, announced they're suing 3M Company for $2 billion in environmental damages. This is one of the few songs I actually did a bit of research on. And it looked like 3M Company were phasing out PFAS. They had a wind-down couple of years. Mm. It was all meant to be done by 2030-something. And Trump, of course, ripped up all that legislation. So, you know, you can just pollute your little hearts out these days.
Mm. Well, we should probably give it a spin because we've got a couple other interviews coming up. But, it's bloody solid work. And
Thanks, Shane.
Yeah, it's been really good to talk to you this morning. And we'll re-announce some of those dates when we do the activist calendar after 8 o'clock. But, Steel City Sue, thanks heaps for having a yarn with us.
Thanks for having me on, Shane.
All right.
Go Swiss VR. Yay.
Woo.
And Green Life Radio.
All right. So, yeah, we've been talking to Steel City Sue, and this is The Red Zone, which Sue just gave a bit of an overview of.
I'm living in the red zone. Our land is covered in that stuff. I'm living in the red zone, can't sell up. Here they put another fighter. It's screaming loud above my head. I'm living in the red zone. Jimmy's dead. Yeah, Jimmy's dead. We moved up here from the city. Got some ponies for the kids. Digging in the garden, growing zooks and chooks and beans. It was all he did. We paid it off and got the title. Only took us 20 years. A piece of paper proof of what we bought. As good as not a cruel souvenir. He just couldn't keep up, and it really wasn't like him staying home from Friday raffles at the club. Then we heard some funny whispers. Luella said her son was sick, couldn't put their finger on it. Yeah. covered in that stuff. I'm living in the red zone, can't sell up.
And that was The Red Zone from Steel City Sue, and that's the title track off Sue's new album. And Steel City Sue is going to be coming down this way, so you can check her out in Geelong, Fiansford, Castlemaine, and here at the Bendigo with the Old Time Wobbly Boot Band. So yeah, check it out.
Yeah, and we are really happy to have our next interview. We've got Markella Panagiouris on the line. Can you hear us, Markella?
Yes, I can. Hi.
Good morning. So let me just introduce you to listeners, Markella. Markella is an organiser, artist and Socialist Alliance activist speaking to us from Ghana land. And Markella, you recently wrote an article in Green Left called Scrap AUKUS and Complicity in Genocide. And so, yeah, we wanted to have an interview with you based on what you've written. And in your article, you talk about AUKUS not being just a military agreement, but part of a broader US imperial strategy. So how do we explain AUKUS as an expression of imperialism, and what does a genuinely anti-imperialist and just foreign policy look like?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show. Yes, so if we understand imperialism going right back to the 19th century, as Lenin understood it as capitalist countries grabbing land and booty from countries that they have invaded and dispossessed, and also with the growth of monopoly capitalism and finance capitalism. We see that today in its iteration, the US being the leading imperial power at the moment, and Australia as a middle-sized imperial power. So AUKUS we can understand as being part of this strategy by imperialist powers in alliance to each other, the US, Australia and the UK, to actually control and contain people they don't like in the Pacific region, and primarily China. So AUKUS is part of that containment strategy.
Now, the Australian government presents AUKUS as essential for national security, quote-unquote. Australia just spent $1 billion on this defence alliance with Fiji. What is AUKUS really about when we describe Australia as a mid-sized imperialist power in the Pacific?
Well, it's definitely not about, quote-unquote, defence. It's actually about aggression and, you know, it's... You mentioned the $1 billion agreement with Fiji, and there was another agreement a few days ago, Vanuatu. And interestingly, that the alliance with Fiji is called the Ocean of Peace. And, you know, it's not about peace at all. It's about aggression and aggression towards China. And not just about that, but about Australia as a mid-sized power doing what it's always done in Fiji, which is asserting itself as dominant. The dominant power in the region in alliance with the US and the UK. So, yeah, it's not about defence. That's a lie. It's about aggression. We don't have a threat, really, a proper threat to Australia from any power. So all this kind of fear-mongering about China is just a furphy, and it's a way of trying to make the Australian public agree to this policy of aggression.
Markella, Labor often presents itself as the party of peace and internationalism, yet it's expanding military spending and keeps strengthening AUKUS. Can you talk about the upcoming ALP conference in Adelaide and why anti-war, anti-AUKUS activists and groups are organising demonstrations outside that conference, and what kind of messages are they hoping to get across?
Well, everyone who's part of the anti-AUK and anti-war campaigning groups here in South Australia is really, you know, coming together for this protest to say to the ALP, you know, we demand that money is not spent on these aggressive and useless policies of more weapons, more war, and the AUK submarines, and that money is redirected into community, into public education, public health, public housing, and things that communities really need. So, you know, it's not just AUKUS, but the ALP has really upped its defence spending, which is miles just announced a few months ago, and that's increased in defence spending. There's also in South Australia a number of new missile manufacturers. We've got the only guided multiple module system in South Australia at Port Wakefield. And of course, we also have the military and surveillance bases in Australia, such as Pine Gap. And all these facilities, you know, what they do is not only are they for weapons and for warmongering, but they also mean that Australia is fully complicit in the US's action internationally against other countries. All these facilities in Australia are fully compatible with the US military requirements, and that's part of a big policy since 2014 that Australia has, becoming basically a big military and naval base for the US as part of the 2014 Fourth Posture Agreement. So this connection with the US military, you know, that really strong connection is something that we are trying to push back again and get Australia to scrap. And at this big protest outside the ALP National Conference, which will be on the 25th of July, Adelaide, community groups, activist groups, anti-war groups, anti-AUKUS groups are all coming together and, you know, saying no to AUKUS, saying no to military spending. And we're really demanding as well that the Labor Party end its complicity in the genocide in Gaza. The other thing I didn't mention yet is that all these military and surveillance bases in Australia, as well as Australia's commitment to AUKUS, the logic of that has made us complicit in the genocide in Gaza, made Albanese and Wong happily complicit in the genocide, and also in the US and Israeli war on Iraq. Obviously, the best of that.
Cheers, Mark. A kind of a bit of a tangentially related question as well. The Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is currently touring Australia. Went to a stadium here in Melbourne yesterday and there was lots of people there cheering him on. And then there was a bit of a protest outside, which some of our comrades went to. And part of this tour, it's been announced that the Australian government is going to be selling uranium to India. And there's assurances that won't make its way into the fuel cycle. But being in Adelaide, where, you know, a lot of the uranium, the bulk of the uranium that's mined in Australia passes through the Port Augusta, I think it is. Yeah, just wondering if you had some thoughts, because it's not directly related to AUKUS, but it kind of ties into this question of how Australia contributes to the imperialist sort of architecture, I guess.
Yeah, that's another major issue. Uranium, and obviously it goes about saying that we shouldn't be shipping uranium to anywhere, especially, you know, something like Modi's regime. The major issue is coming up is, you know, okay, we should, you know, there's been a ongoing anti-campaign here in South Australia and nationally, but Labor is, you know, constantly trying to avoid issues. So, for example, for the AUKUS submarine, you know, having any kind of submarine from the US actually, or, you know, on the site in Australian waters means that we do maintenance on those submarines, we'll have to do it in waste. And actually, Labor has not any official process at all for what to do with that awful waste storage. And also, Labor is telling the public here in South Australia that the nuclear waste that might be stored here is not dangerous, but actually the science shows that any level of nuclear waste is dangerous. And the other issue is with any nuclear waste in uranium is that these aggressive imperialist forces really ignore the rights of First Nations people, and actually the UN, one of the UN's rights of indigenous people is to have free and prior informed consent over dangerous waste, such as nuclear waste. And obviously things like that are being completely overrided. So, yeah, it is connected to all. And I think, you know, as you point out, the Labor government and for that, the coalition governments have been more than happy with allowing Australia to use the dumping grounds as a place where uranium gets exported. In fact, uranium from Australia was used in the US's atomic bombs as well. So, you know, it's an ongoing connection with major US imperialism, plus the imperialism of more middle-sized countries as well.
Markella, we constantly hear that there's no money for public housing, things like healthcare, public education, yet hundreds of billions of dollars are being funneled into military spending for wars and genocides. The Palestine movement has mobilized hundreds of thousands of people across Australia. Do you think that movement and other social movements or the union movement can be linked to the campaign against AUKUS and against militarisation?
Oh, definitely, and we should make those links. So the clear link is actually the reality that weapons, parts, materiel and surveillance from Australia have been used and continue to be used in the genocide in Gaza. And also, you know, the people like Penny Wong have told the Australian public, like, oh, you know, non-lethal parts. You know, everyone knows that that's total lie. So it's totally connected. And I think what we have to show is that the Palestine movement has been very strong here in Australia. And in order for it to continue in its stance and keep growing, we need to connect it with the broader anti-war and anti-imperialist movement. And also really show that if we want to be in a country where our money, as in the wealth that we produce as workers, is actually used for things like you say, like public education, public housing, public health, and not spent on war progression. You know, we need a new, different foreign policy, one that is not, you know, in bed with what the US and the UK and the other imperialist powers want to do, and one that actually is for peace and for solidarity with oppressed people in the world.
Markella, it's been great having you on the show today, and we want to thank you for talking to us and for all your hard work in building the anti-war, anti-AUKUS movement. Did you have anything else you want to say before we let you go?
And actually, if listeners are keen to go to ALP conference protest, how can they get amongst it?
So the ALP conference is happening from the 23rd in Adelaide, Ghanaiyasa, which is Ghana land, and there's going to be a lot of actions by a number of different groups in that week. One big thing is the IPAM, which is the Peaceful Australia Network group, and they're an anti-Orthodoxy group. They're having a conference. And then the big rally, where we're getting hopefully a huge amount of community groups involved. A lot of activists are already involved in working on it. It's on the 25th. At the Adelaide Convention Centre. So if you want to get involved, you can go actually to the Green Left website and look at the event, and this is the event listed there for the 25th, the action of the 25th. You can also check out Facebook. The title of the rally is Social Spending, Not War Spending. So you can type that in and find out more. And you can also get in touch with Socialist Alliance and with Green Left to find out more.
Thanks, Markella, for your work and for your time today.
Thanks, Chloe. See you later.
And we were just listening to Markella Panagiouris, an organiser, activist, artist, and Socialist Alliance member living on Ghana land, talking to us about anti-imperialism and anti-AUKUS campaigns mobilising around against the ALP and their complicity in war and genocide, particularly with the upcoming ALP conference happening in Adelaide. All right, we're going to go to a quick break and then we'll come back with the activist calendar.
Kefirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kefir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kefirs.org.au, that's kefirs.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Welcome back. You are listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR. And yeah, we're going to read you some of the events happening around NAM. Today, Friday, July the 10th, there is going to be a 50 years of deadly march. It's an ADOC week, 9:30 a.m. Meet at the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service at 186 Nicholson Street in Fitzroy. All community members and allies to stand with mob and join us from 9:30 onwards. And we're going to march together in celebration of 50 years of NAIDOC Week. And this year's theme is The Next Generation, Strength, Vision and Legacy. There's also going to be a film screening tonight, Cuba After Castro. That's at 6:30 p.m. at the Kathleen Syme Library and Community Centre, Multipurpose Room 1, 251 Faraday Street in Carlton. Dinner from 6 o'clock, a vegan dinner. Another film screening, Until the Sky Falls Quiet, at 7 p.m. at the NECCHI Newlands Neighbourhood House, 20 Murray Road, Coburg North.
So tomorrow, Saturday, July 11, there is a fundraiser, Social Justice Outfit Pop-Up Shop, 11 a.m. at Eltham Library in Panzer Place in Eltham. Get in there. And then there's also Celebrating Indigenous Struggles in Latin America and Beyond. 6:30 p.m. venue TBA. Who's organising that? Sometimes we get mystery activist calendar heads ups from people, but we're like a bit short on detail. So keep an eye out for that one. Looks like it might be, I don't know, maybe LASNET or something. Keep an ear out for that.
It is actually LASNET, I'm pretty sure. Okay.
And then Sunday, July 12, there's a film screening, Israelism, 3 p.m. at Ferntree Gully Uniting Church at number 6, The Avenue, Ferntree Gully. So if you're out that way, go and support a local, Palestine solidarity / awareness of the Zionist killing machine film screening.
Yeah, and jumping ahead to Saturday, July 18th, there's going to be the Big Red Book Fair at 10 a.m, the new International Bookshop at 54 Victoria Street in Carlton. There's also a youth workshop, Combating Anti-Palestinian Racism, 11 a.m. in Coburg. Again, don't have exact venue details. There's going to be a rally, Sydney Road Accessible Tram Stop Campaign. This is the third anniversary, 11 a.m. corner, Wilson Avenue and Sydney Road in Brunswick. Another rally, Rosebank Engineering, Stop Arming Genocide, 2 p.m. Rosebank Engineering, 836 Mountain Highway in Bayswater.
And we were talking to Steel City Sue before. Just a reminder of Steel City Sue's Victorian dates. Thursday, 16th of July in Geelong at Medusa Bar at 7 p.m. Friday, 17th of July at Fayans Ford at the Door Gallery Cafe at 7. Saturday, the 18th of July at the Bendigo at 2:30 p.m. at some more of an Arvo matinee gig. And then on Saturday the 18th at the Le Monde Hotel, Sue's going to be getting down with the Wobbly Boot Old Time String Band at 9 o'clock. Sunday the 19th of July, Castlemaine at the Northern Arts Hotel. Sue's going to be playing a gig with your friend of mine, Dan Mursell. And then Sunday the 26th of July at Carlton at the Fringe Common Rooms at 2 o'clock with Skyscraper Stan and the Commission Flats. And that's a MUA gig about cleaning up the old oil rigs, making the scummy oil companies clean up their crap. So, yeah, keep an eye out for those Steel City Sue gigs.
Maybe we'll just jump ahead to Saturday, July 25th. Rally. There's going to be a rally, Unite Against Racism, Migrants Are Welcome Here, 2 p.m. Broadmeadows Town Hall at 10 Dimbulla Road in Broadmeadows. And, yeah, another similar rally we're hoping to have in Dandenong as well on August 16th, which is a Sunday. So we're still working out the details for that one, but please mark that in your calendar. And another important one to mark in your calendar is Saturday, August 22nd, which is Green Left's biggest fundraiser of the year, the 22nd annual Green Left Comedy Debate, We Should Blockade the USA. That's the theme. 6:30 p.m. Brunswick Town Hall, corner Sydney Road and Dawson Street. We have some very funny comedians, and it's been hosted by comedian Sarah Bertolo. So, please look that up and keep it free. And, yeah, there's there's lots of other things that are happening. We don't have time to announce all of it. But
I will just give a quick plug, though. There is a film screening, just going chronologically back a little bit. There's a film screening on the 22nd of July at the MUA Hall, and it's called My Friend the Terrorist, a tale of love and revolution featuring Jose Maria Sison and Julieta de Lima. That's by a Filipino group, Friends of the Filipino People in Struggle and International League of People's Struggle. So, yeah, at the MUA Hall on the 22nd of July.
Now, should we play another song from Steel City Sue?
Yeah, sure. All right, so this one is called Payroll. It's Cajun Boogie. And, yeah, this one is about a peculiar thing that can sometimes happen in Mullumbimby, Newcastle, where you've got climate activists interacting with coal workers. And, you know, it's one thing for climate activists and socialists and unionists to support a just transition, which we do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be, shall we say, romantic chemistry between a climate activist and a coal worker. So it makes for some funny dialogue and interactions.
Enjoy listening.
Kefirs are Palestinian scarves, and they're a symbol of support for justice for the Palestinian people. From the traditional black and white kefir to an array of modern designs, explore the range and order online or drop by 3CR during business hours. Wear your support for the rights of Palestinians. Go to kefirs.org.au, that's kufiyas.org.au. 3CR supporter.
Alrighty, welcome back. You are listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR. I'm Zane. That's Chloe over there.
Yo.
And we're just listening to Steel City Sue with Payroll, which is a bit of a festive little ditty about, yeah, a bit of an interaction between Sue and a coal worker and some of the interesting parlaying, shall we say, the banter going on between them.
Mm.
Now we might just smoothly segue into a bit of other news. Actually, you know what?
There's
a thing that it's not really current affairs per se, but like this time of year, you get what the Germans call Dunkelflaut. And Dunkelflaut is when you get not much wind going through your wind farms, and it's the middle of winter, so it's not as sunny, so you get less power coming out of all your solar panels, and so you get a bit of a shortage of power, and then it's like, oh, we've got to, you know, fire up the gas generators, blah, blah, blah. And so at about this time of year, every year, all of the anti-renewables people pipe in and they're like, oh, see, this is why we can't run the grid on renewables. And it's like, well, actually, for three quarters of the year, it's not a problem, and it's really this specific period in the middle of winter that's an issue. And for me, and I, this is not the first time that I've raised this on Green Left Radio, but like, it's just something that keeps coming back to me. The Wurundjeri calendar, the Wurundjeri eight seasons calendar for this part of the world, it talks about the different seasons. It's not like the conventional European four seasons. There's eight different seasons. And in the middle of winter, the First Nations mob here will be like, okay, it's really cold outside. The ground is not being very productive. It's not that there's heaps of food around. A lot of the animals that we might hunt are also sort of hibernating or kind of, you know, chilling out a bit. And we do the same. So that was the time to repair your clothing, do sort of, you know, repairs and craft work and maybe fix your spears and get stuff ready for the coming season. But basically sit around the fire and stay warm and don't be going out into the blistering cold. And I think that that principle could readily be applied were it not for the demands of capitalism for us to have 24/7 production, never stop, must go. Mm. There's no reason that we couldn't have a designated middle of the year where people have some extra RDOs, have some extra time off, go and do community stuff, go and do political organising, hang out with your friends and do stuff that doesn't require heavy industrial processes and quite as much electricity and basically dial back our power consumption a bit because it's the middle of the year, it's the middle of winter and in a renewable power system, there is less electricity to go around. Yeah, we can spend all this money on gas generation or extra biomass plants. There are ways to have a 100% renewable energy system. And if you spend extra money, yeah, you can build up some alternative generation. But another way of approaching the problem is to be like, okay, we're going to just work a bit less in the middle of winter and just spend more time just hanging out. Anyway, yeah. That's my...
Yeah, and if
I just think there's a lot of wisdom in that approach that's in the Wurundjeri calendar.
Absolutely. And just, you know, the way Indigenous people have looked after this land for, what, over 60,000 years, I think they know a lot more than the rest of us. And we should, this is why First Nations people should be leading the climate justice movement or part of leading it. And the season that we're in right now, the Wurundjeri calendar, I think we're in wombat season.
Okay.
Just looking at it, yeah, you said there were eight seasons. So, yeah, and they're sort of related to animals, the butterfly, dry season, the eel season, wombat, orchid season, tadpole, flowering, and then the last one is in December is kangaroo apple season.
Yeah, nice.
People learn about that. It's way more exciting than our boring calendar and seasons.
Because the Palestinian fight isn't just the Palestinians' fight, it's all our fight, because it's a fight not just about land, it's about a fight for freedom.
Everybody should be standing here today saying, Free Palestine.
Solidarity with our Palestinian brothers and sisters. On behalf of the Gumbanja Nation, my people, who've never ceded their sovereignty.
We should be recognising Palestine as a state and recognising the rights of Palestinians.
3CR, stay tuned, stay radical.
You're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and just wanted to read you from the pages of Green Left that communities are organising anti-racist rallies. They're called Unite to Stop Racism or Unite Against Racism. And just reading here, that as the rising cost of living and housing pressures continue to bite, the populist non-solutions being proposed by One Nation can seem appealing to some sections of the working class. And that's one of the reasons why these grassroots anti-racist Hume for Humanity group have called a protest on July 25th. We did mention it before. It's a rally at Broadmeadows Town Hall. And we just encourage listeners to, you know, it doesn't matter if you don't live in Broadmeadows. We want to mobilise people from across Melbourne for this rally to reject the racist and anti-migrant rhetoric that the establishment media is widely promoting. And one of the organisers has said that it will take collective struggle by working people to create a better future and deal a death blow to the racist scapegoating of Pauline Hanson and One Nation. And this rally has been endorsed by quite a few organisations, including Alliance Against Islamophobia, Anti-Militarism Action Network, the Craig Yberm Mosque, Hindus for Human Rights, Hume for Humanity, Federation of Italian Migrant Workers and Families, Palestine, Free Palestine Coalition NAM, Free Palestine Dandenong, all the Free Palestine groups basically, Greek Australians for Palestine, Free Palestine Melbourne, Green Left of course, Menzies for Palestine, Marybeck for Palestine, Muslim Voices of Calwell, Refugee Action Collective, Refugee Women Action for Visa Equality, Solidarity, Tamil Elam Solidarity, Muslim Votes Matter, Eritrean Voices, and the Somali Language Show here on 3CR. And there's more coming in, but we, yeah, would love to see you there on July 25th. Okay, we're going to go to a quick break and bring you more Green Left Radio.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
Welcome back to Green Left Radio. Listeners, on last week's show, Zane and I mentioned, we were talking about the devastating earthquakes in Venezuela, and we were encouraging people to donate to people in Venezuela affected by those earthquakes, but we didn't really tell you where to look. And I did find this activist who has listed Venezuelan grassroots and community initiatives that are currently providing immediate response after the earthquakes. And if you're looking for ways to support on-the-ground mutual aid efforts instead of the huge foreign NGOs, please take a look at their tireless work and consider donating directly to them. And we're going to upload this document in our show notes. So just go to 3cr.org.au/greenleftradio. And we haven't uploaded it yet, but just give us a bit of time and we'll upload the document there. And if you see that there's a organization not listed on that document, let us know and I'll let this activist know. Her name is Tatiana Rogers. I saw her on Facebook promoting this list, and yeah, I think it's a reputable list of organisations that we can donate to.
Yeah, word. And there's an article at Green Left titled "The Political, Social and Economic Impact of Venezuela's Twin Earthquakes," and that's abridged from a longer article at Links, and yeah, a bit of a deep dive into what's happening in Venezuela at the moment, but yeah, it's eminently horrific, and yeah, if you can donate to those organisations, it's really important right now. Well, I'm wondering, should we play another ditty from Steel City Sue.
We have time.
All right, well, let's make it a trifecta. We have got another track here from Steel City Sue. This one's a bit more of a dancey number. It's a bit of a scarred joint. It's called Join the Dots. And if you've ever been online and you've had to confront the tediousness of cookers who are like, climate change is bullshit. It's all part of this globalist agenda from the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, the researchers get funded and I did my research. And it's just bollocks. Anyway, Sue's written a bit of a track for everyone who's ever been a bit frustrated by those units.
Fun one.
Look it up. That was Steel City Sue with Join the Dots. It's bog standard capital, no need to get all woo-woo. Nice. Yeah, so check out Steel City Sue. There'll be some festive boogieing, I reckon, as she's touring around the place. All right, well.
It's been really great. Yeah, sorry. It's been good presenting with you, Zane. I won't be able to present for a while because I'm back to work next week.
All right.
But yeah, we'd just like to thank listeners for tuning in today and thank our guest, Markella, and just remind people that Green Left is people-powered media. As a grassroots publication, it thrives on your support. So please head to greenleft.org.au/support and become a subscriber today for as little as $5 a month. And also 3CR has many staunch activist broadcasters involved in building campaigns for justice. Support 3CR, head to 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
Word. And I think we'll have to skip the outro and just go straight to Left After Breakfast. But yeah, make sure you get along to the NAIDOC rally, 10 a.m. this morning at the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service building down on Nicholson past the museum. Be there or be square.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.